The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Would it make any difference to you this coming Sunday if you knew that there were people in your church armed and ready for, well, something bad going on? Would it bug you, or would you feel better? Would you feel good about some of your tithe money going to hire a security firm to come in and check out your ingress, your egress, your facility, and talk about people having weaponry or perhaps having off-duty police officers or former military in there who are armed and dangerous in the middle of it? Or is that a lack of faith? Do you think that's a lack of faith? We just need to trust the Lord. You have that attitude about COVID, so you don't wear a mask. So you do the same thing when it comes to security at a church. Or you could think back to Texas or some other places where there has been violence. Or you could go to the Garden of Gethsemane and you could consider when Jesus was being arrested and one of the swords that they had, in this case, hot-headed Peter's hands, took things into his own hands and decided to do what he did. But when they asked him, you know, should we take a sword, Jesus asked them, how many do you have? And they said, two. And he said, that's enough. Jesus did not disarm the church. And in all the times when Jesus, as well as Paul, encountered Roman centurions and people in the military, not one time did they say to them, you need to quit your job. So I'm not going to turn this into a Christian ethics class on pacifism, but we are going to talk about church security today in light of an increasingly darkening world here in the United States of America. And if you're a pastor, you should definitely be listening here. I think this is about, I have a friend that is very capable, has trained SWAT people around the country, Krav Maga, black belt, a weapons expert. And he said, part of your loving your neighbor is being able to defend your neighbor if they cannot defend themselves. And so we're going to kind of fold all that into the show today. Tim Miller and Steve Ecker are in the studio. Tim was on not that long ago. It's good to see you guys again. And Tim was calling in when we had the shooting in, that was the grocery store shooting, right?
That's
Tim?
Right. Yeah.
Which was just not that long ago. And then, of course, we had the situation going on in Minnesota here, which we're going to talk about just a little bit, not too much time. But Tim Miller's here. Normally, and what's the regular, because we're talking about Secure Church today, securechurch.com. But your other security business is called?
It's called Lionheart International Services Group, and we kind of help organizations prepare for violence and train them up, because it's changing in our country.
Yes, it's changing in our country. Yeah. But today we'll specifically be talking about church security. And if you're anywhere in the Triangle area, by the way, but if you're in other parts of the state of North Carolina or even in South Carolina, whatever you happen to be listening, and you're concerned about security at your church or you're a pastor or you're a deacon, you're on staff, whatever the case may be, make sure you go to securechurch.com and check that out. And these guys are going to be doing a free training coming up on Friday, April 30th here in the Raleigh area up in Youngsville. Faith Baptist Church up there, which is Friday, April 30th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., and you can register for that. We're going to put the links up on the Facebook live feed today. But I'll also tell you where to go on that one in terms of the website. But Tim is here, and then Steve Ecker is here as well. Steve, how are you? Good to see you.
Doing great. Welcome. Great opportunity to be on the show and share with the listeners.
I like it when the guest welcomes me. That was good.
Thank you.
This is going to be fun. These guys are cagey, and they're a couple years older than I am. So it's we're going to have some fun today, even though it's a very difficult subject. And let's start with you, Steve, because you guys have a unique background, which is going to add to the gravitas, to quote something we talked about 20 years ago, to the conversation. So let's talk about your background, then we'll talk about Tim's background.
Started in the aircraft industry, had its ups and downs quickly in 1971. Joined the United States Secret Service as a member of the Uniform Division. Spent the next 11 years in various assignments, including conducting guided tours of the White House, scheduling all the special guests, whether they be friends of the president or special guests that the president invited, taking them on tour of the White House, but at the same time, simultaneously, providing security for the president and the White House. My second part of that career was spent in technical security, doing all the undercover operations for investigative side of Secret Service responsibility and doing the advances for presidents, vice presidents, and foreign heads of state literally around the globe.
Quick question. Do you think the average American, whether we're talking about church or anything else, do you think the average American has a decent grasp at all on the darkness that's out there?
Absolutely not.
Just in terms of potential threats.
The threats, and they're increasing significantly as we go forward in the times we're in,
yeah,
with the police issues we're seeing, and that complicates their response, yeah, to us as citizens.
Exactly.
It really gets scary.
Yeah, and that's an operative word. Now, again, before you go sharpening your Bible knives, we understand that we're not given a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind.
Amen.
We're not talking about that kind of fear when we say it's scary. We're talking about sober-mindedness and dealing with the reality that you are surrounded by a pool full of 7.5 billion people who are essentially depraved. And that's just the deal. And you got to be sober-minded and accept that reality and deal with it, even in church, sadly, on a Sunday. And Tim Miller, of course, is here. Tim, we're going to switch over to you. And tell you also have a pretty intense background. So how did you end up in this world?
Well,
procreation.
That's a longer discussion,
right, yes.
Steve.
I actually learned that when I was 10. Skip that question. How did you end up in the world of security? How about that?
Well, my father was a World War II vet and also a police officer. And from the time I was young, he stressed the importance of caring for yourself, your country, and protecting others. So I went to college, graduated with a bachelor's, became a Marine Corps officer, immediately went in and took command of a unit overseas, came back and oversaw a company of Marines that protected nuclear weapons, and thus started my love for security. I came off active duty but stayed in the reserve, stayed in counterintelligence for the next 20 years, recently retired a couple years ago as a lieutenant colonel, but again, focused protecting Marines overseas. But then I also had a parallel career, was a police officer in Fairfax County, Virginia, and then became a Secret Service agent in Washington. So protected presidents, both domestic, international. Shortly after 9/11, I went over to the Department of Homeland Security.
Where were you on 9/11?
I was assigned to the Ronald Reagan building in Washington, D.C. I was overseeing security. And when the plane hit at the Pentagon, it kind of changed, obviously, yeah, all of our worlds.
Yeah, it changed everybody's world.
And so after that, I worked with the FBI chasing terrorists. But then I ended up my career at the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center. I oversaw our training, yeah, which is where I really started developing, yeah, a passion.
And we'll factor all that into the conversation,
yeah,
today. This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show, talking to Tim Miller and Steve Ecker about church security and the event coming up here in the Raleigh area on the 30th. SecureChurch.com is the website. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Very important topic today. The topic is church security. Do you want to feel safe and secure when you go to church? Maybe you shouldn't have to think like that, but you do. And if you think it's bad now, you need to just hold on to your shoes because it's going to get worse. And we knew this. There's nothing new under the sun. Solomon was right. New news is just old news happening to new people. Okay, so this is going to get worse. The persecution, which in America, which in light of international persecution, most of us will feel guilty using the P word here in the American context. But within context, it's true. And there's persecution coming. It's starting. I told the story yesterday about the church up in Canada. They actually erected a fence around the church to shut the church down. The pastor served 35 days in jail. And that type of stuff is going to grow because the church as a source of truth is a problem for the forces of darkness. And there are some people that hate the church because they hate God, even if they don't have that in the front of their minds. That's just a spiritual reality that's going on. You're on one team or the other. I said this recently on the air, the day of Jesus' crucifixion, the entire world was there. On one side of him, on one cross, is the one that repented. On the other side is a man that didn't. That represents the entire population of humanity ever since that event, ever since. And that's true, still true today. So you have to be aware of the forces of darkness, whether they're actually intent on that, and then mental illness and all that kind of stuff. So is your church protected? That's why we're talking today with our brothers, Tim Miller and Steve Ecker, who are going to be doing an event here in the Raleigh area coming up on Friday, April 30th. SecureChurch.com is the website. It's going to be at Faith Baptist Church up in Youngsville. That's faithnc.org is the website. I'm going to put those links on Facebook Live so you can follow that. But Tim and Steve both have extensive background in security. At the national level, presidential level, military in Tim's case, as well as law enforcement and then special services up in D.C., the Secret Service. But before we talk about the church security, Tim, since you're here, I wanted to ask you, how do you kind of, because I want us all to learn from your perspective as former law enforcement and somebody that's obviously a professional when it comes to security. When we look at the situation with the shooting of the young black man, senior police officer, female, white woman up in Minneapolis, taser, thought she had a taser, he dies. How do you kind of read that through a professional experienced lens? Because most of us don't have that.
Yeah, and I think, Steve, the bottom line is our hearts break because a young man died. And that shouldn't have happened. Obviously, everybody saw it. It shouldn't have happened. But I think it's important to recognize that police officers are human, too. And they have to make life or death decisions in quarter seconds. It's clear that that situation was evolving quickly. We often train quarter seconds. She'd been on a long time. She'd been in training. But I wonder how much actual muscle memory, as we would describe it. Obviously, tasers are on one side. Weapons are on another side for a reason. But you can understand how if in a life-changing situation happening in quarter seconds, it looks like he's going back to his vehicle to get a weapon. So she came out with one weapon.
They had an arrest. They found out there was a warrant out for his arrest.
That's right. And all that's in your mind because police officers aren't perfect. Now, with that said, it's a tragedy. Yeah. It should not have happened. That young man should not have died. But it's important to understand that just like doctors, just like everyone else, police officers make mistakes. I will tell you this. Those officers, chief on down, will never be the same again.
Yeah, that's right.
So they could use our prayers.
Yeah, and now, you know, bringing her up on basically manslaughter charges.
Right.
Are we getting to the point where police officers are just going to be uncomfortable being police officers?
I think we're already past that point, Steve. There's no question. My son-in-law is a police officer in Maryland. They just withdrew the Police Officer Bill of Rights. That means that these officers that are answering 911 calls, putting themselves in harm's way, no longer have a protection or process that stops them from being judged instantly, fired, and imprisoned.
And, of course, that's the government in Maryland doing that. But
correct.
Do you think your average American still has an appreciation for policing and police officers?
There's absolutely no doubt that the average American still appreciates police officers. But I will tell you, and I train a lot of police officers, they're not feeling the love.
Yeah.
So one of the things I would say to your listeners, get out there and let them feel the love. Make sure you affirm them. Because whether you recognize it or not, they're heroes.
Yeah,
they're going to be the ones that lay their life down coming to save you. And I believe as believers, we ought to be all over giving them the honor that they deserve.
Well, isn't that the picture of the gospel itself?
That's right.
That you would lay down your life for your brother.
That's
love
right.
Has no greater picture than that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for helping us understand that, and let's all be in prayer over that situation. We'll pray for them together at the end of the show when the radio's over. So if you want to pray with us at the end of the show, we do it every day after the show's over. But that's on Facebook Live and YouTube Live, so you're going to have to jump on your device, which you're probably looking at anyway, and you can join us there. All right, church security, how did you get involved in that? And then, Steve, I want to know how you got involved, too. But, Tim, we'll start with you.
Well, you know, it was a short story for me. I was an agent. I was attending a large church in outside of D.C., and I wasn't involved. I was involved in peer ministry, and we began to have a series of incidents. Mm. And the pastor came to me. What we were experiencing had we've never experienced before. And I'll tell you, since that time, that was about 12 years ago, it's gotten way worse.
When you say incident, what does that mean?
Well, we had a series of folks that were mentally ill, that were obsessed, and we had some domestic issues. And it's important to remember that everything that the world experiences, the church is experiencing,
right.
You know. And since we're hospital, we have to expect that folks that are hurting will be there.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And so I began to look at church security, and I got to tell you, I'd been a Marine, I'd been a police officer, I'd been a Secret Service agent. Nothing prepared me for church security because it's totally different. And what I began to see is if we try to take the practices of the world and implant them into the church, it's going to cause a lot of problems.
Yeah, it's going to be a problem.
That's right.
Because we don't want to go to a church that looks like a public event where there's security all over the place.
That's exactly right.
As much as I love visiting Israel, I don't want my church to look like Jerusalem.
That's right.
There's an 18-year-old with a M16 on every four on every corner.
That's right.
So how do you do that, we're going to talk about today. That's the whole point of the show. But, Steve, let me ask you, because did you guys meet?
We actually met in
Secret Service or elsewhere?
No, we met in mid-2000.
Because Tim's obviously older than you are.
Better looking. We met with an agency. We were working together. The Food and Drug Administration has an Office of Criminal Investigations. Tim was heading up the training for that agency. I was doing a lot of the technical undercover work and the facility side of it. And as Tim and I realized we were brothers in Christ first, we came to realize we had a heart for church security and the people in the churches. And coming from that protective background that the Secret Service gave us, it seemed like a natural thing. God brought us together.
Yeah.
And from there, we started to even just banter the idea around of how to bring church security to churches.
Was there a point for you, Steve, that something happened, you observed something, you saw something happen in the country that you're like, okay, I need to move from being concerned about this to actually getting involved with training and being proactive?
I wouldn't say it was one event. I think just the general trends we're seeing where law enforcement is being pushed out and the need for security is increasing. The days of calling 911 and an officer being there in 30 seconds, those days are gone.
Those days are gone. And on a Sunday morning when you've got 100 people, 200 people, 300 people, even the average church in America is still about 95 people. That's still 95 people in a confined area that don't really know what to do if there's a threat. We're talking to Tim Miller and Steve Ecker about church security. We'll be right back. Back at Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about church security today. Is your church secure? Okay, I'm not talking about eternal security. We can maybe do that on a Theology Thursday in the next few weeks. Is it secure from a protected standpoint? If somebody crazy, somebody demonic, whatever, were to come into your church on Sunday and they were carrying a firearm, what would happen? I actually have a buddy who's a pastor who shall remain nameless, who trains and is involved in anti-sex trafficking efforts around the world. One time I was at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in the Grand Ole Opry, that huge hotel thing in Nashville. And he's a guy that's always ready. Okay. And so we're sitting there talking, and these are some of the biggest leaders in evangelical communications. Okay. All gathered in one place. And I'm like, if somebody crazy came in here and knew what they were doing, how bad would this be? Cause I don't see any security. And he said, all right, I'm well trained. I'm well armed. And I have some other things with me. I could probably kill 60 or 70 people here before the police could stop me. And that was coming from my brother in Christ. So is your church secure? Do you know? So maybe that's a question you should be asking. Deacons, elders, your pastor, anybody on staff. What's our church doing about church security? Loving your neighbor as yourself is going to have to include that these days. The days are dark and getting darker, as in the days of Noah, when men's thoughts and actions were evil all the time. Right? We're back there just about. So let's be realistic about it. That's why we're talking to Tim Miller and Steve Ecker today about church security. The website securechurch.com is the website. They're going to be here in the Raleigh area, besides today, obviously, on Friday, April 30th. And so I'm hoping you'll get your church involved, at least invite your pastor. And pastors, if you're out there, check that out for yourself, for your flock, who you are responsible for, securechurch.com. All right, so Tim, you were talking about earlier that you weren't prepared, even all this background in security and law enforcement and being a part of security at the White House level and the Secret Service, but you said you weren't prepared for church security. What did you mean by that?
Well, what I learned quickly is if we begin to go in the way many have with a language of fear, then that's not of the Lord. The church is a hospital. I do things as a church security team member that I never would do in a Secret Service or police training environment. And it's important that we recognize that church security must be a part of the ministry, the overall ministry of the church, and not this standalone SWAT team gun force.
Yeah.
If not, it becomes an obstacle to the gospel. You know, we've had so many people come into I oversaw a church security team for 12 campuses, 40,000 overall folks on a weekend. And it was important that our team understood that just like the worship team, they had to come with the right hearts, the right focus, if they're going to be used by the Lord. Now, my thing with our teams is you have to have the heart of David, but also the skills of David. And I'd remind our team all the time, skills come with training, preparation, and faithfulness. And so as we train these folks, what I learned is they began to acquire a heart for ministry as they saw their skill in security under the umbrella of ministry being used by God to change lives. I could tell you story after story of guys that came into the ministry, hey, you know, where do I get my gun?
Right.
But soon the Spirit of God began to work on them, and pretty soon they're praying over people. Mm. And, man, that's a win because they're stronger fathers and wives and, you know, and the teams are that are focused on ministry become a joy and a blessing to the pastors.
Is that a paradigm shift that is surprising to churches that you even need to talk about it?
It is totally.
Because when I think about it first, I'm like, okay, security, that's a secular thing.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we have to bring the secular thing into the sacred thing.
Yeah.
But yet, loving your neighbor and protecting them.
Yeah.
Is pretty ministerial.
Yeah, and it's also important we recognize as things get you've mentioned a number of times, things are going to get worse.
Yeah.
Violence is going to focus on the church. Well, we want a safe and secure environment where the good news of the gospel can change people's lives.
Yeah.
And that's what we get to be part of in a church security ministry. Now, the other side is I work with a lot of churches who it's all about concealed carry and SWAT tactics and all that. Let me tell you, that can be a big problem for a church. Because although we need those skills, we need the heart of ministry way more than we need. Because I say to our teams all the time, you know, God can do more in a second than men can in centuries.
Wow.
So if we're prayed up, we're prepared, we're faithful, we're humble, we're servants, then that changes the whole dynamic of church security.
Now, what about dealing with the church when, like, the leadership is gung-ho, they realize they need this, but it makes the congregation uneasy? Do you have to cross that bridge?
Yeah, you do. And unfortunately, you know, my go-to verse is from Nehemiah, but we prayed to our God and posted a guard. You know, we get to be part of God's work on this earth.
Well, listen, to that point, since you brought it up, I think that the disciples would have been pretty happy to stay in the upper room and just pray the gospel out there.
Yeah.
But that's not the way it works.
Yeah.
So in order to get them out of town, persecution came.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, if you won't leave, I'll kick you out.
That's right.
So, I mean, that again, this is sober-mindedness and just embracing the fact that this is the reality of the world that we live in.
It is. And, you know, Steve, it's so important that pastors recognize their number one role is to protect the flock.
Yeah.
Now, if someone's in an adulterous affair, they'll be right all over it. Well, what about something that could destroy their very bodies?
Yeah.
We need to have that heart, especially in leadership. Now, it has to be under the authority of ministry, which is why, especially in smaller churches, I believe the pastors ought to be leading, spiritually leading the security ministry and give that the same priority level that you would worship or, you know, Sunday school, or because that's the key. That's where God works, is in a humble environment where ministry is the focus.
Well, the last time I checked, the shepherd analogy shows up in that book we keep talking about.
Yeah.
And one of the roles of the shepherd is to protect the sheep.
That's right.
And he's not walking around unarmed. Look, there's a wolf. I better pray.
Yeah. Let me think about this.
Right. Let me think about it. Pray to the Lord. I say that to people. Go, you come home and you're – I do this with my students, especially my ethics students, where we talk about abortion and showing up at an abortion clinic and where some people are praying and they're silent.
Yeah.
But other people are crying out.
Yeah.
And I go, okay. And that makes some Christians uncomfortable, which I understand.
Uh-huh.
But if you show up today and your neighbor across the street is beating the tar out of his wife out by the mailbox, what do you do?
Yeah.
You walk inside and pray? Nope.
Yep.
Do you offer him a tract? Maybe after. But what am I going to do? I'm going to yell. I'm going to call 911 while I grab a baseball bat or something.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to stop that. So I'm going to take immediate action, which is not being faithful.
Yeah, and Steve, you know, if anybody should lead the charge to sacrificially protect others, it should be you and I and believers.
What a great point. Yep.
You know, at the end of the day, if there's an active violence situation, you and I know when we step off this earth where we're going.
Yeah, that's right.
I am not worried at all about that in my life, because if the Lord calls me in that second, that's good. Well, shouldn't we as believers model what sacrificial love really looks like? I think somebody great said, no greater love hath any man, something along those lines.
Yeah, I read that somewhere. That's ringing a bell.
But I think in the church security ministry, that ought to be the model.
Yeah, exactly right. Steve, let me get you in here on this. So as you've been involved, and I just want you to reflect on what Tim's been sharing in terms of how a church kind of receives what's going on in this message and trying to embrace that security is actually loving.
Absolutely. It's always amazing when you sit down and talk with pastors and even the people responsible for church security, and you explain the ministry side of the emphasis of church security, their eyes, it's almost as if their eyes are open and like, wow, no longer is it just concealed carry guys or cops standing in corners, but now it's a matter of looking out for the hearts of people. And a good friend of mine said, you know, can you imagine killing someone in a church environment and not worry about him being saved? Mm. Where's he going when you kill him? So there's that side of it. Saving souls ought to be our goal.
Absolutely.
And leading people to Christ, but also doing it in a safe environment.
Yeah, yeah. It's such a great point. And back to the ethics course, when we talk about, and I teach on this, just war theory, there's a right intent and motive. And even when you go into a war, you go into a war action, you go into security action where weapons have to be employed. That's never a gleeful thing. You said this earlier, Tim, that even for this officer in Minnesota, that's the worst thing that can happen to somebody in law enforcement or somebody in the military is to actually have to take another person's life.
That's right. And, you know, but remember that for all of us as believers, we're in a war.
Yeah.
The spiritual war. It's important. We get it. We understand scripture on that. But we're also in a physical war at times. And in the situation where someone's being beaten or murdered or oppressed, I think we have a duty to step in and defend them.
Yeah.
And I think, again, that is genuine love when we're willing to do something at our own expense. Yeah. My dad was a World War II vet, and he said, you know, son, you got to figure out early. There are certain things that are worth dying for.
Yeah, what a great point. We're going to come into the last segment of the show here in just a minute. So I want to give you guys an opportunity. I wasn't planning on opening the phones, but I will, because if you have questions about this, I want you to get your questions answered. We have Tim Miller here and Steve Ecker. They're experts. Obviously, they love the Lord. So if you want to take advantage of that, which you should, on the issue of church security, 866-348-7884 is the number. As always, 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back.
Oh, angel said,
welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. If you have a question, Tim Miller and Steve Ecker are here. Church security, your church, if you're a pastor, if you have some general questions, concerned about it, should this be an issue at all? Maybe you're in a small church. Maybe you're in a big church. The average church in America is still less than 100. It's about 95. So if you're in a church of 500, that's a mega church. You may not feel like it, but that's what you are. And this is a situation, no matter, and Tim mentioned this earlier, that was a multi-site, 40,000 people, and those are out there, but that's abnormal. Even a small church, 100 people, 200 people, should church security be on the radar screen there? I think the clear message today is yes. So what do you do about that? If you have any questions, please give us a call. We've got the last segment of the show, which is about 11 minutes long, so you definitely have time, and we'll definitely get you on the air. So it's not too late. Just give us a call with whatever your question is about church security for Tim and Steve. 866-348-7884 is the number, 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Or if you have a question and you're watching on Facebook Live or YouTube, just put it there in the comment box and I'll keep an eye on that. When you guys do one of these church security meetings, church security as ministry is what this is called here in the Raleigh area on Friday, April 30th, go to faithnc.org to get registered for that, faithnc.org. What do you talk about, Tim? So what happens?
Well, you know, the focus of church security teams is very different than, you know, traditional law enforcement. Obviously, we need a high level of skills in terms of things like de-escalation, dealing with domestics, you know, dealing with mentally ill folks. And when it's framed in a ministry focus like that, rather than, you know, my duty carry and the guns and all that, you're more likely to get hit by lightning than have an active shooter event at your church. But I guarantee you every week you will deal with mentally ill people, domestics. You'll deal with angry people. So our focus is just to let pastors know, and that's the focus of this meeting on the 30th, that as a ministry, it is a truly exciting thing to have guys that know how to de-escalate and know how to, you know, deal with mentally ill people, because now we're actually part of the triage at the hospitals called church, because hurting people are going to come. So we just look at – we want to explain to pastors the difference between having a standalone security team that's out there kind of, you know, standing in corners, watching people, versus having a security ministry. One of the hard things I had to deal with initially when dealing with church security guys is getting them to talk to people. They wanted to step back, and they wanted to watch and talk in the mic and all that stuff. But the reality is,
it'd be like you Secret Service
guys. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But the reality is they need to be engaging people. That's going to grow them in their ministry, as well as teach them how to talk to people.
Well, the one thing you just said that helped correct me, because I was thinking church security, I'm thinking worst case.
Yeah.
Active shooter, somebody crazy, whatever.
Yeah.
But what we're going to see an increased amount of is aggressive disruption.
That's exactly
I think that's
right.
coming.
Yep. Protesters.
Protesters, yep. People coming in, showing up. I mean, if they can get into a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing and dress up in a red outfit like Stepford Wives or whatever that was, I think that was during Kavanaugh's hearings. They can certainly get into church because the church is a welcoming place. You said this earlier. Hospitality is supposed to be our deal. And so people come in. They just sit there and wait for the right time. Then they get up and start disrupting. That's a church security issue.
That's a huge church security. And by the way, it's happened. There have been church takeovers.
Yeah. Wow.
And so the key is, what do we do about that? Well, we prepare the team to deal with a variety of stuff. But make no bones about it, is the gun stuff and the active violence, which we train that. Hey, I'm a firearms instructor. I've taught for 30 years, so I'm big on safe firearms. But at the end of the day, they're going to need the other skills, the de-escalation. You know, I think I shared this with you, but it's huge. We work a lot with the National Alliance for Mental Illness.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So they're the watchdog organization for the nation's mental health. In 2019, they assessed that about 1 in 5 Americans is clinically mentally ill.
Wow.
So they're struggling. Guess what? After COVID, they're now saying it's 1 in 4.
Oh, it's gotten worse. Yeah.
And so we're dealing with a mental health crisis in our country. And we pray that they'll come to church. But if we have people that don't understand how to deal with them, how to help them,
are we
really salt and light in a community that needs only the grace of God in their life to help them?
Amen. Well, that's a great question. And again, we set aside the cowboy attitude, and it's really a ministerial hospital, like you said earlier, kind of attitude that there's a lot of broken people and messed up people. And some of those will come to church looking for help. Some of them come looking for trouble. And I guess that's a part of the discernment, the training
that's
as well.
Right.
Who am I dealing with here? That's assessment, right?
That's right. And those are skills that you got to develop.
Yeah.
That you don't just poof. Hey, you know, there's not a John Wayne clone waiting to jump down and have all those skills, you know. I think it's important that we understand that for a church security ministry, it is a huge commitment to have the skills. Again, heart and skills of David.
Yeah, one of my friends on Facebook Live, and I'll ask you this question, Steve, and then Tim can jump in if you want, was asking about how do we pray into this subject, praying into the subject of security for the church and for pastors, for the Christian world at large. And I think they also asked in terms of like law enforcement and stuff. Just help us have some prayer points. How can we kind of pray into this? We'll do all kinds of action stuff, and then we'll leave prayer on the cutting room floor, right? So give us some help with that.
Clearly, certainly, you know, praying for the people that are coming to church on a regular basis. They're coming there bringing their hurts, their hang-ups, and so forth, and being able to talk to those people in a Christ-like manner, making them feel welcome there, but yet trying to look at their heart and say, how are you doing today? Those words are so important at greeting people, and we can learn a lot from body language, but we can really learn a lot by talking to people. What's going on in your life, and how can we as the church help? And that's where going into this prayerfully as a ministry with the team, that's where almost every member of the church that's out there on the front lines, whether they be the parking lot or the greeters, to prayerfully consider their job, their position, and what they're really trying. Am I welcoming people to the church, whether they're believers or not? Because we're going to get both.
Yeah. And you need a whole lot of discernment. I mean, obviously, because I wanted to ask that brings up a question I had, Tim. I guess when you're talking about church security, a lot of us probably have the thought of people in the sanctuary, but church security starts out at the street, doesn't it?
And if you think of the recent shootings, the attack started in the parking lot.
In the parking lot, the grocery store, right?
And so, you know, just to echo on what Steve said, you know, our teams all get there an hour early. You know why? Because we get together and we read the word. And we pray. And I've had hardened police officers who weren't even saved that were part of that original thing and then come out of that roll call, and instantly we would be faced with a situation that we needed the help of the Lord. And you know, we get it, but folks, we can't protect anything without the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And that's where, for your Facebook caller,
it's a gun without bullets.
Yeah. Please pray for the safety. Yeah. We know that when prayer activates the supernatural. And I could tell you, I wish we had time, I could tell you supernatural, amazing stories of encounters our teams have had. Mm-hmm. Where it's funny because when we first started, they weren't.
Can you do one in 2 minutes?
Well, I tell you, let me give you we had a guy in the roll call. We were talking about how Jesus never walks by the broken. Never. Mm-hmm. You never see it in Scripture. And so we had a guy show up, homeless guy with bags, wanted to come to the church. Well, coming out of that prayer time,
the U.S. digital currency, and they said China is miles ahead of us. I'm paraphrasing his words.
Yeah, and so another nail in the coffin of the U.S. dollar being the world's reserve currency. And when that drops, friends, that's like a tsunami. You can see it coming. You know it's there. It's coming. But there is no way you can avoid damage because it's just too powerful. And it's just really sobering and scary to think about that. And so we need to pay attention. That's why David is here each week to try to help us understand what's going on. Low interest rates have definitely fueled the stock market and the economy, but what's going to happen? I know they're saying they're going to keep them artificially low, but what's happening out there with interest rates, and what might happen later this year?
Well, they're going to be forced to raise rates, and eventually the Fed's going to have to taper, you know, buying all the debt that the Fed's been, or that the government's been producing, called treasuries, and they're also going to be forced to raise rates. And the thing that the Fed is, you know, even though they're not concerned about inflation, what they're really terrified is debt deflation. In other words, there's good deflation, like, for instance, cell phones. Obviously, they have much more technology nowadays than 10 years ago, but they're also
exactly when you're paying attention to the technology. I don't know what that was. Make sure you got that. So about a minute and a half left. Just an invitation to people that are involved in their churches. They should take it to their pastor, or for pastors themselves to come out on April 30th.
Yeah, so what we're trying to do, I get work with a lot of church security members, and they're all frustrated that, well, the leadership doesn't get it. And I could certainly turn it around and go, well, how are you presenting it? You know, but on the 30th, we have learned that as we are able to talk to the pastors and the leadership in the church and kind of present, hey, this is what we feel like God is calling us to do in our nation.
Yeah.
Then the leadership goes back and is supportive and encouraging of the ministry itself. So we feel like presenting to the pastor, I'll have a solid presentation for them and then a whole lot of time for their questions.
Yeah.
And then at the end of that, we are going to come back into the Raleigh area and do a full one-day training conference at Faith Baptist in August.
Wonderful.
And so that will be the hands-on training for the teams.
So this is a good little intro class. Coming up on Friday, April 30th here in the Raleigh, North Carolina area. Go to securechurch.com in general, okay, but specifically for the April 30th event, which again is 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Friday, April 30th. At Faith Baptist Church, which is in Youngsville, just northeast of Raleigh, just right outside, we would call that up north a suburb. Go to faithnc.org, faithnc.org, and click on the events tab, and you'll be able to register and go there. It's free of charge. Tim, Steve, thank you so much for being in here today. Such an important topic. We'll continue to talk about it. Pray into it and serve. And remember, you're still on earth. You're not in heaven yet. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.